What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, over on the disputed area of the India-Pakistan border, there have been five deadly incidents. The situation is escalating there, and at least eight people have died. And tensions between the rival neighbors continue to intensify over the rest of province and its contested border. And of course, the danger there is that both India and Pakistan are nuclear nations. Now, Paul Craig Roberts came out with a very interesting article. And he says, "Are you ready to die?" And he starts out by pointing out that Glenn Greenwald over at The Intercept exposes the fake news put out by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security that Russia hacked 21 U.S. state elections, which went around the world in the corporate media. Oh, there, we've got it. And apparently the state governments have all been calling the Department of Homeland Security to say, no, we don't see it. It's not here. There's no evidence of it. And so Paul Craig Roberts is making the point that the U.S. security agencies, Homeland Security, CIA, FBI, NSA, they are part of the propaganda machine. You are not going to get real information from them. You're going to get what is politically expedient. Remember when Frederick Whitehurst blew the whistle that the FBI crime lab was routinely rigging tests to favor the prosecution? When that came out, they had to let a lot of people go from prison. The entire U.S. federal central government is hopelessly, irretrievably, irredeemably corrupted from top to bottom. Now, the moral and the immoral are mutually exclusive societies. Neither one tolerates the presence of the other. So once a government starts to go bad, it goes all the way bad. And those people who are trying to do the right thing are eventually escorted to the door. Cynthia McKinney, good example for there. Now, we've been talking about Russia's electronic warfare prowess and their newest weapon that can basically zorch incoming threats at a tremendous distance with UHF radio waves, which led me to suggest that Russia's had some kind of a breakthrough in being able to generate massive amounts of UHF radio waves in a small device with relatively little power. So the British Daily Star is looking at Russia's new radio electronic missile called Alabuga. And they write, Alabuga is capable of disabling an entire army all by itself. And it uses high-frequency radiation, radio waves, and it will disrupt all communication systems. And modern armies are heavily tied in with their radios, their computers, the little handheld battlefield monitor. I forget what that one is called. And they say in a very real way, Alabuga is a more powerful weapon than a nuclear bomb because it can instantly make useless all NATO or U.S. technology for a radius of 3.5 kilometers. Now, the other day, I was talking about indications that the U.S. may try a military action against Cuba. And supporting that is a story that just came on in from Citizen Free Press. The United States has just expelled 15 Cuban diplomats from their embassy in Washington, D.C. And expelling diplomats is a serious, serious matter and usually is one of the signals saying that a war is coming. Maybe the warmongers are feeling bad that they're losing in Syria, and somebody said, well, we'll just go on down. We'll whoop on Cuba. We know we can take Cuba. We'll feel butch once we get down there with Cuba, and we'll have all that Cuban rum, Cuban cigars, all to ourselves. Now, apparently over in Israel, the Jerusalem Post did an interview of Yossi Cohen, who's the head of Israel's Mossad, who came on out and admitted point blank that Iran is Israel's primary objective. They want Iran destroyed, broken up, and smashed, as long as the Americans go do it for us, apparently. As you know, there is a brand new U.S. military base in Israel. Now, the official position of the U.S. government is it's more of a warehouse storage area. It's not really a military base, but, you know, when you have soldiers and weapons surrounded by a fence, that's a good definition of a military base. And needless to say, the Palestinians are not very happy about this. They're not happy about it at all. And basically, they're saying it's another way for the U.S. To place American weapons at the disposal of Israel. And it may well be that this U.S. military base on Israeli soil is part of the preparations for the war against Iran, which we know is coming. All right, we're going to do a shout-out now to our network our affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Philip Giraldi has come out with an article, How I Got Fired, and he's talking about the aftermath of this article he wrote called America's Jews Are Driving America's War. And it made several points concerning the consequences of Jewish political power regarding U.S. foreign policy. And, of course, he immediately came under attack, and he had been a writer at the American Conservative magazine, and they basically fired him, saying, you can't say that. You can't say bad things about Israel. And Israel's always very concerned about not allowing anybody to criticize them. Now, over here in the United States of America, Senator Chuck Schumer is in Congress pushing for congressional legislation that would end academic freedom in America, and in particular, criticism or even study of Israel. They're pushing this bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. It's passed through the Senate unanimously. And it's built on this idea that criticism of Israel is rooted solely in anti-Semitism and hatred of the Jewish people. And that's like trying to say that you can't criticize the Nazis because you just hate the German people. That's how absurd this is. But that's the new policy. All criticism of Israel is based solely on anti-Semitism because Israel isn't actually doing anything that's wrong. So obviously you're only saying these terrible things about Israel because you hate the Jewish people and you want Hitler to come back and gas Jewish babies in the ovens twice. Now, back on September 10th, 2001, then the Secretary of Defense, Don Rumsfeld, got up at the Pentagon and announced that some $2 trillion had vanished. And it should have been the economic slash military story of the year. But fortunately for Donald Rumsfeld, the very next day 9/11 happened. And then the story about the missing trillions of dollars from the Pentagon just vanished. And it was never heard from again because the airplane that struck the Pentagon flew around the Pentagon, turned around and came back and flew into the offices where the auditors were trying to find where all that money had gone, destroying the paper trail permanently. Somebody made out like a bandit with that. Well, Catherine Austin Fitz is out there saying the Pentagon isn't the only place where money just seems to be vanishing into thin air. And she's done a study of federal government budgets since 1988, and she's found that some $21 trillion, with a T, has gone from U.S. agencies since 1988. One of the worst offenders seems to be the housing and urban development. And apparently she found one city block in San Diego that had $20 million in defaulted HUD loans. And these loans were made by HUD on non-existent properties that did not even have a U.S. postal address. And Catherine Austin Fitz concluded that HUD was being run as a criminal enterprise to simply loot the money, the taxpayers' money, out of the U.S. government. Many of the researchers have come to that same conclusion. The American government is run by criminals who own both parties and the corporate media. The narcocracy. The U.S. government is the biggest smuggler of illegal drugs into this country. You think that's the only crimes they commit? When you have a class of politicians who are willing to engage in that kind of behavior and that kind of crime, then obviously false flags to push an anti-gun agenda, lying to the people, looting the government treasury, all comes, it's part of the deal. It's just part of the way things are being done over there. Now, interestingly enough, this volume of cash that's disappearing from the government is another sign of impending collapse. In fact, over at our online store, we have a coffee mug that says right on the front of it, the last official act of any government is to loot the nation. And we seem to be in that phase right now and have been, according to Catherine Austin Fitz, since 1988. Now, we've been talking about the pension crisis here in the United States of America, the declining economy, the fallout from the 2008 mortgage-backed security fraud, and how all of these pensions are refusing to hold Wall Street and the government responsible for bad decisions and outright criminal acts, instead pointing the finger at retirees. Oh, you're retiring too young. You're living too long. You demand too much. It's all your fault here. Well, as it turns out, the United States is not the only country where the pensions have gotten into serious trouble. Globally, the pension gap, the money they actually have versus the expected outflow to retirees, is now $400 trillion. Now, of course, they can just crank up the printing presses and just pour that on out, which is cheating everybody of the value of their existing money. Or, you know, a lot of really old people could start dying all of a sudden. We've been talking about the shale industry, and apparently it's not doing as well as people would like to think. We know that a lot of these shale reservoirs, if you will, do not actually have the volume of oil and gas that they were thought to have, that even with the hardest fracking, they still can't get it all to the surface. So it's an industry that's in trouble. And the idea was they were going to get all this oil and gas that was shallow in the shale rather than drilling down deep to the remaining reserves of free gas and free oil. But it's not really working out. And that harebrained, poorly thought out oil price war with Russia put a lot of these companies into serious trouble, drove some of these companies completely out of business. So let's turn over to Catalan, because things are really intense there. Following the Catalan referendum and the Declaration of Independence, students gathered for a rally in one of the largest of Barcelona's squares, Plaça de Catalunya, or the Square of Catalonia, to voice their protest against the violence of the Spanish police who attempted to thwart Catalonia's independence referendum. And it was a huge crowd. I saw a video of it, just absolutely amazing. It gridlocked the entire that entire part of the city. So this attitude by Madrid, we're just going to go on in, club them over the head, and they'll give up that silly little idea of independence, has backfired. It's angered the people of Catalonia. And it's a very, very tense situation. I'm concerned this could break into a new civil war. And if you remember anything like about the war against Franco, it can get very, very bloody indeed. Now, Pablo Escobar is out there saying that more is at stake in Catalonia than just Spain and its territorial integrity. He's saying the future of the entire European Union is at stake in Catalonia. because if Catalonia breaks free, you're going to see portions of other European member states angered that their member state government is not following Brexit, and they'll start breaking off. That whole European Union thing is really falling apart. I imagine the globalists are just having a terrible time right now. They were so close to that one world government, and it's falling apart on them now. Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro has attacked the Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy, saying, "Who's the dictator now?" Rajoy has chosen blood, sticks, blows, and repression against his own people. So, Stephen Glover is out there saying that what happened in Catalonia is shaming and shocking to the modern world. But he's saying underlying it all is a truth that Brussels doesn't want to hear, or the globalists don't want to hear. People crave a national identity. They want to be proud of their nation. They want their nation to be great. And this push toward refugees and integration and one world government has actually triggered a fierce nationalist backlash. And the globalists are out there saying, well, remember, nationalists, the Nazis were nationalists. You don't want to be a Nazi, so don't be nationalist. Be globalist. I remember when I was a kid, nationalism was the fashion. We were supposed to be proud of our country. We had reason back then to be proud of our country, to see it as unique and special. Meanwhile, over in France, President Emmanuel Macron has taken advantage of Angela Merkel's election results by pushing for France to lead the European Union, to become the new figurehead. Now, yes, Brussels runs the European Union, but we all know that Angela Merkel has had a tremendous amount of influence over Brussels because of Germany's economic power and her popular support. Well, that's clearly on the wane. And now Macron is seeing an opportunity for him to step on in and replace Merkel as a leading voice in the European Union. Meanwhile, down on the street level, over in Germany, there was a failed asylum seeker, and he is accused of raping a girl in front of her own boyfriend at a German nature reserve. He's in trial right now, and he keeps saying, well, the alleged victim was a prostitute. This is 31-year-old Eric X from Ghana, charged with aggravated rape and predatory blackmail. And that seems to be a common theme. We had that story, I think it was just yesterday, where this asylum seeker assaulted a woman and demanded that she say, "I am a whore," into his cell phone video recorder. So it's not just the sexual assault. It's a denigration of women. And I'm wondering, where are all the liberal feminists right now when this is going on? You would think they would be screaming bloody murder at the expressed attitude toward women by these refugees. But I guess the push for globalism trumps the rights of women or the status of women here. Over in Great Britain, police stopped a Muslim for a routine traffic check. They found a tied-up woman, kidnapped, crying in the trunk. There's a little bit of a whoopsie for you. Remember what I said before about tyrants trying to destroy the middle class? I'm not the only person who's out there. Over at Zero Hedge, an article, "The globalists are systematically destroying America's middle class." And they're saying their goal is to get us all dependent on the government, because then we will not refuse to do what they tell us to do. Dependency is slavery. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse every day.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. So if you want to make a phone call, now is your opportunity to do so. Gosh darn that global warming. What a horrible curse it is. Colorado mountains just got a record-setting dump of snow in the first significant storm of the season. It started Sunday, ran through last night. And it's the heaviest snowfall on this date in recorded history. Gosh darn that global warming, really. Gosh darn that global warming. Now, getting into the world of computers, I think a lot of people are getting tired of the modern, bloated, spied on, overly complex computers. And yes, we're forced to use them for our work. But when it comes to play, they're going back to simpler machines, like the Raspberry Pi over there. And apparently there are companies that are starting to remanufacture under license reproductions of the machines we all knew and loved in the early days of computers. And the newest one to come on out is called the Mini Commodore 64. And it's called Mini. It's about half the size of the original console. It looks like there's a keyboard on the top, but it doesn't really work. It's just there so the box looks like the original machine. But there are USB ports, and you can plug in all kinds of stuff. It perfectly emulates the original Commodore 64. It has an HDMI video out, but if you want, you can enable a mode that puts scan lines in there so it looks just like it did, you know, when hooked to the antenna of your old TV set. Like so many of these other retro platforms, it's got 64 games built in, but it still has the basic and everything else. And I think it's going to go for about $70. And there's a whole raft of these coming on out because these modern computers, they're just not fun anymore. They're a lot of work. Not just the work you're doing on them, but the work you have to do to keep them working. And they really, the fun factor has gone on out. It really, really has. So we're going to take a phone call real quick. Mateus in Canada. Aloha, Mateus. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just a bit of a different idea about the shooting, but on the topic of computers, I had an HP laptop, an expensive one. About 4 years later, it stopped working, and at the end of the investigation, it was just a code that they stopped sending out. So they just decided that I had to replace my computer, this planned obsolescence.
Well, apparently somebody did a study and found out that Apple really is slowing down the older iPhones every time a new iPhone comes on out. There have always been concerns that as Windows comes out with a new operating system, that they send out codes that make the older operating system start to misbehave. And it's a dirty way of doing business, but again, we have a criminal society that we're living in.
Yeah, a top-down criminal society. So I think most people would agree that the shooting would be classified as an operation, as opposed
yes.
to a spontaneous snapping event. And now, looking at it from that perspective, I theorize that it was a mid-sized operation because of the fact that if it was a true false flag from a government level, they would have been shooting up their own people. They would have been shooting up black liberals to blame it on the conservatives. But because they were actually shooting up their enemy, that meant that the operation was not from a very large perspective, because it's more from the Antifa level size operation, because they don't want to really shoot themselves. So you're not going to go there and go, okay.
Wait a minute. You're ignoring the lessons of Pearl Harbor, where Franklin Roosevelt was perfectly willing to see those thousands of people die at Pearl Harbor to get his agenda of war with Japan. And again,
because it was
if you're coming
at it from the level of a government, then you're willing to sacrifice a small portion of your own people. But if you're a small group, you're not willing to kill your own group off. You have to be very large.
We're thinking that. Okay. Well, I'm going to respond to you after we come back from these commercials.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about computers. And apparently, Internet Explorer, the latest version, has a bug in which a website you are visiting can see what you're typing in the address bar, such as the next website you plan to go to. And so it's really very sloppy, and I'm not surprised people are like going back to these old machines. I still have my Commodore VIC-20, and I love it when I have time to play with it, which is not often here. Okay, Microsoft has apparently decided to drop Groove, which was the Ghost of Zune music subscription service, and the users are now being shunted to Spotify. And again, people don't have the money for this kind of stuff. They really, really don't. I look back at my lifestyle when I was much, much younger, where there was a lot more leisure. And yeah, you'd put a record on the stereo and you'd listen to music while you're puttering around the house. But it just doesn't work that way anymore. And personally, I don't like the headphone thing because then I feel disconnected from the real world. Let's take a couple of phone calls here. Don in Iowa, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Yeah, I'm not really totally up to speed on this Vegas shooter, but I mean, it's a fact that the bullets came from that hotel, isn't it? I mean, the people were looking up there; they could see or hear.
Mostly they were responding to the fact of the bullets hitting the ground and, you know, leaving an elongated trace. But witnesses were saying that bullets were coming from different directions.
Okay. What's your theory then? Do you have a theory? You know what happened?
I think this was a staged operation to push the gun grabber agenda. And this Stephen Paddock, I think, was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. The perpetrators wanted to use his room as the shooting nest. And they just killed him and left him there. And everybody's trying to construct this myth around him that this 64-year-old multimillionaire, you know, just all of a sudden snapped. And everybody who knows him, his family, his friends are saying, this is not the guy. He was not a gun nut. He wasn't political. And so I think basically the perpetrators had hoped that there was going to be the rooms were going to be empty, and they weren't. And maybe this guy put up a fight. And that's why they killed him. I don't think he was a planted patsy because he's basically wrong for all of the various agendas. He's a white guy. He's liberal, firing into a Trump crowd. And so I think they just improvised on the spot and said, okay, we're going to leave this guy. He's going to be the suspect. Remember when Hitler sent his people to destroy or to attack the radio station at Gliwice? They took along a Polish prisoner and shot him dead on the spot and left the body to be found so that Hitler could say, oh, we've been attacked by Poland and all these terrible things and go off into World War II.
What they're saying here on Zero Edge is that this guy filmed himself during slaughter, may have left a note.
I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the film. I haven't produced it, but they're saying he filmed himself.
So well, that was kind of... Yeah, but again, knowing about film fakery, at this point, I'm not trusting anything that comes out of the corporate media.
I agree with you. I mean, they are trying to do away with guns by Sandy Hook, for example. They are trying to stage stuff to do away with guns, but the only reason a guy like that would commit suicide is if he had terminal cancer, if he found out he was in some kind of a health problem, he was going to die, and he wanted to just go out in a blaze of glory and take some people with him and kill himself. But I don't see that. I don't see any
no indications of that. Again, from his girlfriend. The authorities have talked to her, and she had nothing to contribute to it.
Okay, Mike, I'll let you go then. Thanks.
All right, thanks an awful lot. And remember, you know, cancer, it can be treated. 25% of all cancers spontaneously cure themselves, or at least unless you've gotten a vaccine with that nagalase in there. All right, let's go to Jim in Chicago. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I have a quick question. Are we sure that this guy's dead? Is there a body?
That issue has been brought up before. This isn't CSI where you get to look at the dead bodies, you know, down there in the morgue. Again, at this point, it's good to suspect everything. But again, Occam's razor has to apply. And it's the simplest course of action for this guy to really genuinely be dead.
Right. And the other question, considering he lived in a very upscale neighborhood, wouldn't there be cameras around his house and also around the neighborhood? And if these guys planted weapons in his house, wouldn't there be like a video of that?
There could be, but on the other hand, when you're talking about intelligence operatives, they're going to know to either interfere with the camera electronically, so it's suddenly not working, or they're going to have made arrangements to be able to go in and erase that particular section of the video.
And the last question, what do we really know about his girlfriend? You know, what's her background?
Originally, she's from the Philippines, and apparently she does go back and forth, but she spent much of her life here in the U.S. She's very much a liberal, and apparently Paddock sent something like $100,000 back to her home address in the Philippines, which is a tremendous gift. But again, this guy was a multimillionaire, a very expensive home, two single-engine airplanes. I mean, if you're a pilot, really one airplane is all you need. But this guy just decided he was going to have two.
Right. And finally, it'll be interesting to find out if they're going to bury the body or they're going to cremate it.
Well, yeah, I think that would be basically, should be up to the family to decide.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. You take care.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Chris in St. Petersburg. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, it's just interesting reminiscing about how computers used to be programmable, accessible. We knew the schematics. We had the schematics provided for us, like the Commodore 64.
Yes.
And the most amateur developer could come up with new devices and could take full advantage of the current capabilities of the system. And, you know, we don't have that anymore, but, you know, a lot of people think that coding is useless. Well, that's because we don't know what the hardware is actually able to do. You know, for example, the Commodore 64, in contrast to the TI-99-4A that I grew up with, I bought a year before the Commodore 64 came out. And TI failed largely because they did not release their schematics, and they licensed a lot of the games and software to other companies, like Atari and Microsoft.
Even. Yes.
And people, you know, much later on, found out just by cracking, you know, reverse engineering the systems, that they had much greater capabilities, and they've even been able to do video digitization with very decent audio on the TI, and it makes me feel kind of cheap. It makes me feel cheated that I wasn't aware that I could do all these things. The system was slowed down, and, you know, the people are coming out now with FPGA systems that are clones, not just the Commodore 64, but of the ZX, ZX81, with a better speed enhanced. That was a system more popular in the UK. And
yes.
The TI-99er, but... you know, back in the old days, we had to get together in user groups. We didn't have online communities back in the days of the old, you know, in the 80s of the old modem, slow modems that are 300, 1200, 2400 baud. Mm-hmm. And now 30 years later, folks are still developing modifications and accessories and you know, on these systems where the OSs are built in, the operating systems are built in. You just shut it off if it crashes, turn it back on, and it runs again. And it's amazing, the Flash emulation that you can find online. Of course, you can't plug anything into a browser, you know, hardware-wise. But people, you can emulate all these old systems just going through your browser and with Flash emulation. So, I think that we need to wonder what our systems are capable of doing. Maybe a lot of these resources are being used to spy on us.
Well, we know that's a given. These modern systems, going all the way back to that Windows version, where they found out there was an NSA key in it. Supposedly, Apple has the same. All of these companies have been approached by the government and coerced into providing backdoors so that we can be spied on. Those older machines don't have that. They didn't need that back then. But they were simple and they were elegant, and I'm in agreement with you. One of the things that made the Commodore 64 attractive was you got the schematics, and you could literally read out the entire operating system and see what was going on in there. And that made it fun. And, yeah, you could get in there with machine language, and you could really start tinkering around. I'm sure you've seen the show Halt and Catch Fire. And... It's in its last season here, and I love the show because I lived through a lot of that when I was a lot younger, and for a while I even had a small collection of these computers that I'd pick up at yard sales and things. I had a Timex Sinclair, and they were fun to just plug into the TV and just see them work, and they were simple and elegant, and they were a lot of fun. And I'm finding the same thing with my Raspberry Pi here. But I'm not surprised that there's going to be a market for these small machines, because computer enthusiasts want a machine that's fun to play with rather than something that demands a huge amount of work just to keep it running.
Yeah, well, you know, with the TI, there's the about a month ago, I saw a video of somebody came out with a tiny 99er that's speed
yes.
enhanced, that's on a board. It has some extra, a few extra features, but, you know, it makes you wonder, and you know, the old TI, that machine language was called GPL, graphics programming language, that crackers later discovered that was the native language of the system. They had given access to the end users, or if an end user had knowledge of it, they could have done much more, many more things. And, you know, that was the first 16-bit computer on the system, and yet it was
yes.
Restricted by an 8-bit bus, bottleneck by an 8-bit bus. But it makes you wonder, you know, maybe going back to these systems to be less hackable, akin to Russians using typewriters to... no, maybe...
Yeah.
Stuff on tape might be a little more secure these days. You know, give us
more
time.
Well, tape's only good for 5 years. Tape is only good for 5 years. Yeah, you can use these things to do something useful, but mostly they're just fun to reminisce. And these are obviously targeted on us old people who grew up with the beginning of the computer age and remember that sense of wonder and joy that these early computers would bring on out. And, yeah, it was very cool and it was very exciting because we could see the world was changing around us. And now, today, it's just a constant recapitulation of what has been done before. Each new iteration of Windows is just more advertising and more spying and not as much functionality. Going back to my allowing my iPhone to grab iOS 11, it broke a lot of the older apps that I really liked having, and there have been no new replacements because the companies that wrote those apps have gone out of business. So it's just they've gone from the idea of profiting through innovation to profiting through planned and coerced obsolescence, and I think that's one of the reasons why American technology is in decline. Certainly the state of the art in American software engineering is abysmal compared to some other countries.
Yeah,
okay.
That is, and yeah, I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for entertaining all these thoughts. I hope we can get back to becoming more than just end users.
Well, again, with the Raspberry Pi, you know, I'm using it for a net terminal because it draws a lot less current than this Windows 7 machine. But yeah, I'm programming on it in Kernighan and Ritchie C, and I'm using it to continue playing around with the 10,000 Monkeys code.
Wow, that's cool. I know somebody made a TI emulator for the Raspberry Pi as well in about, 15 or so years ago, and I was amazed. Wow, even you know, on such a small device, you can emulate such a big system. And people are coming up with memory expansions for all these old systems and pushing
yeah,
the limits.
Well, I mean, just looking at the card, just looking at the Raspberry Pi, the idea that there's an entire computer on there, for somebody whose first experience with a real professional computer was the IBM 1130 with the big console over here and a hard disk this wide that held 5 whole megabytes, the card punch, card reader, and the chain printer and everything, to see this entire thing as a computer, except for the printer, is pretty amazing. And it's just pretty to look at because it's elegant. Anyway, Chris, going to let you go. We've wandered enough down memory lane here. We're going to take one more phone call, then we're going to close the phone lines again. Lynn in Washington State, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I just sent you a YouTube that has got an original audio of Scanners. And on that scanner series, it's got police confirming there's more than one shooter.
Yes, we actually have that audio up on the website already where the police are saying there's a shooter up high and there's one lower down.
Exactly. So it's on their own scanners. So I just thought I'd let you know that that's there for you. Thank you. You
All
have
right,
a good evening.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. We're going to close the lines here because I got a backlog of stories that have built up over the last few days. I really want to get through here. A little bit of good news for astronomy buffs here in Hawaii, of which I am one. Apparently, the 30-meter telescope has finally been approved to be built on the top of Mauna Kea. And the native Hawaiians have been opposing it because the land is considered sacred. And despite the fact that there are already some world-class telescopes already up there, but they didn't want another one. And I had a slightly different take on it, because if this were a brick fertilizer plant, I would side with the native Hawaiians. But Madam Pele is wearing a crown of the finest jewels technology can create, and the 30-meter telescope is going to be the Koh-i-Noor in that crown. And ladies like their bling, and so I'm glad that telescope is going to be built on Mauna Kea. It is going to certainly improve the science, and it's going to be a tourist attraction. People do drive up to the top of that mountain to see those telescopes. Claire and I have, and it is amazing. And so I'm glad it's coming, and hopefully the University of Hawaii will get the contract to manage that one along with so many of the others. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our program today after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show again. And the story in Las Vegas seems to have changed again. Now they're saying that no, Stephen Paddock did not commit suicide after all. He was killed by a member of the FBI hostage rescue team. So everything is just confused, and I think that's by design. Try and keep us from finding something that we can go with to say there's a question here. The mere fact that the information keeps changing like that, I think itself is evidence of deception going on here. Getting on back to science, the Russian, well, we already talked about that one the other day here. Apparently, scientists have detected a class of chemicals, organophthalogen, out in space. Now, up until now, it was thought that these chemicals are normally produced by organisms on Earth, and they were hoping that they were going to use this as an indicator of life as they go on out looking for life on other planets, which we already found back in 1976, but don't tell them. And apparently, data taken from the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array Telescope in Chile and the Rosina instrument aboard the Rosetta orbiter revealed that organohalogens are present around a young star system 400 light years away. But they're making the assumption that the star system is too young for life to have evolved there. But still, I think what's going on here is all of these chemicals used by life seem to form naturally in space. When life starts to evolve, it's going to use what's available to it, those same chemicals. All it takes is one molecule that self-replicates, and you've started the process that leads to more and more complex life. And we know that DNA is that self-replicating molecule. RNA, a more primitive, earlier version of it, they're starting to detect even simpler molecules that can self-replicate, certain sugars. That's where it all came from. Story coming out of Gizmodo. Apparently, these two scientists, Manasvi Lingam and Avi Loeb from Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, are proposing an Earth-sized space shield to protect us from solar storms, arguing that every so often there's going to be a major solar storm that can cause immense damage to our modern civilized society, and they're saying we just need this Earth-sized space shield out there. Well, I think it's a little crazy. I think we'd be better off simply hardening our electric and electronic systems against solar storms, because if you have this space shield out there, it's going to cut off some of the sunlight coming to the Earth, which I'm sure would make the global warming people happy. But building something that large and keeping it stable and keeping it from being punctured by all the debris that flies through the solar system, it's going to be very difficult. When you realize that literally tons of meteorites fall onto the Earth every single day, you're going to get the same thing happening on that solar space shield. So I don't think they thought this one all the way through. All right, we're coming up here on the end of the program. There's the music. Stay tuned for the John Stadmiller program. He's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here, share it with everybody that you know. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk.
That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.